Yes.
That we are released with the 2020 vision. We are released with that. So we got it now.
Yes, when, and things that are already there become visible.
Visible. That I couldn't see, we now can see it.
Mm-hmm.
Because light comes, the breaking of a new dawn. Light comes. Light comes. You, beloved, you got to be excited.
Yes.
Make your day count, family. You got to be excited. You got to be excited. You were touching on a very strong point before yesterday that he made a way, mm-hmm. made a way in the wilderness. He made a way. And they all, so the way is made. That's what you were talking mm-hmm. about. We're going to go back there. But you can't access the way, the road, mm-hmm. unless you can what?
See it. Yes, that's good. And have the discipline to drive your car on the road. Because if you just think about the practical example, when you're driving down 95, you have the road that's laid. And if you remain on the road, your car is going to get to your destination intact. You're going to get there in a certain amount of time. But if you make a decision to turn that car off of the road and drive it in the wilderness along the side, your car is going to get beat up. You're not going to make it to your destination. You're going to end up stuck. Right there in the wilderness. But meanwhile, all the long, the road is right there.
Yes.
So we have to make a quality decision to discipline ourselves to remain on the road. And God has parameters in place. If we start going too far to the left or too far to the right, there's warning signs just like on that road. If you try to, if you go to swerve off the road, first you got those little reflectors things that's going to start jerking your car a little bit. If you go too far, you're going to hit the guardrail. So God has parameters in place. So it's not that God is not speaking, but a lot of times it's that we're ignoring his direction or we want him to do it our way, but he's already done it his way.
Hey, man, notice as you were talking, the Holy Spirit illuminate my mind with a tremendous piece of wisdom, which I'm going to release right now. 2020, we cannot do life mm-hmm. by ourselves.
Yes.
We have to do life with God.
Yes.
We have to. And what the Holy Spirit just hit me, a 16-year-old doesn't get a driver's license. He's not yet get his driver's license. Get, I think, 15 or 16. I want to be right. He get that provision.
A permit.
Permit.
15, yeah.
Yes, 15. He get that what? Permit. Now, he can drive a car, but mm-hmm. not alone.
Right.
He can. Mm-hmm. Oh,
that's good.
He can drive the car,
mm-hmm.
but not alone.
Mm-hmm. And has to have a year experience before they could actually get their license.
Listen. So, in 2020...
Mm.
We can drive the car, but not alone.
Not alone.
We need God inside here.
Yes.
We need somebody with the license. God has a permit.
Somebody with the wisdom and the experience. That's the reason. You have to have that, I think it's 21 and up year old driver in the front.
Right. I don't just say that. So many times, we want to do it our way.
Yeah.
We're going to tell God, okay, God, you can check somebody else. I'm okay now. I'm good. And then we drive off the road. We run into a problem, and we drive off the road. I remember when I was learning to drive, I have an experienced driver right beside me, and he's telling me, okay, do this, do that. Well, God and the Holy Spirit sit right beside me in 2020. This is what I want. I'm saying, I'm encouraging us to do. Let God sit beside us.
Yes.
And tell him, go here, go there. Don't go here. And we are willing to listen.
Listen.
I healed my life to you, O Lord, in 2020. I cannot drive or steer my life alone. Hallelujah.
Yes. Yes, because there's one destination. Yeah. There's so many places we could go and be lost.
Yeah.
But there's only one place, one destination where we're right in the right place in the experiencing all that God wants us to experience and all God wants us to manifest that he has sent us in this earth to manifest. So there's so many wrong. It's just like math. You got your one right answer and then every other answer is wrong.
It's wrong. And we got to, beloved, we got to remember this. One of Satan's biggest deception is persuading us to believe that we can keep on doing the things the same old way and somehow produce different results in our life. That's one of the biggest deception. It's convincing us that we can keep on doing the things the same old way and somehow, miraculously, we're going to get a new result. And that's why God, for 2020, says, do not remember the former things of old. He's saying, and Paul says, I now are going to what? Press forward in verse 40. Because there's some goals out there that I need to hit.
Upward call. To bring me up.
Yeah.
Yes. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14.
Yeah.
I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
Not going down. It's
not
upward.
Going down and not going side to side, wasting energy and being exhausted but making no forward progress. There's an upward call.
Yes.
A new height, a new level of glory. So we cannot be tied to the current level. We must be willing to untie and to elevate. There's a word that I was looking at the other day, amenities. Those are all those little perks in a place, the amenities. They keep you comfortable. They draw you there. But if you look at the word and you just break down the spelling, it says, amen, it ties.
Yes.
Amen, it ties. So there's some amenities in life that have made us comfortable, but they have also tied us to a point in time. But God is calling us past that point in time to a new level, because complacency is just as bad as when, you know, people, sometimes we point the finger, oh, well, they're not going anywhere because they're hooked on drugs, or they're not going anywhere because they're poor, or they're not going there anywhere because they're a liar, oh, they're not going anywhere because of this, blah, blah, blah. But complacency is a tie also. We're tied by our previous level of success.
Yes.
And God is calling us to untie. Do not consider the things of old. Do not consider your previous accomplishments. I'm calling you to a higher height. Release yourself from confidence in self. Release yourself from self-righteousness on this morning. That was Paul's cry, his declaration here in Philippians chapter 3. The things that he was saying, do not remember, were the things that he was talking about in the previous verses. His religious checklist, his confidence in himself.
His
works of self-righteousness. Those are the things that he had to forget. So, you know, it's easy to point the finger and accuse, oh, well, they're not going anywhere because of this flaw. Okay, but now we need to look at our own self. Do we have too much confidence in ourselves? Are we trying to work to achieve our own self-righteousness? When Paul clearly says here, there has to be a transition in our mindset. He goes in verse 15 and he says, therefore, let us as many who are mature have this mind. So our mind has a place. We must mature in our mind to know that, hold on, it's not you. It's God. Every success you ever had was not you.
Yes.
It was God. So we have to release ourselves from confidence in ourselves, confidence in the flesh. We have to release ourselves from works of self-righteousness and in turn put our confidence in the Lord and exchange our self-righteousness for his righteousness in order to go into higher heights, to go further than your mind could ever imagine you going. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, to God who is able to do exceedingly more abundantly than we could ever ask, think, or imagine. But it says, according to the power that worketh in you, the power of the Holy Ghost, not the power of self-righteousness, not the power of confidence in the flesh, but the power of God in the exchange of our righteousness for his righteousness.
Amen. Let me give you another deception of Satan. I told you, one of the biggest deceptions of Satan is persuading us to believe we can keep on doing the things the same old way and somehow produce different results. Another deception of Satan is telling us to tell ourselves that God is the head of our life without, watch this now, without totally surrender to him. God is the head of my life. But what? Don't totally surrender to him.
Right.
God only become the head of my life or your life when we what? Totally surrender to him. Mm-hmm. When total surrender mean I trust him now. Mm-hmm. You know? And trust in, so that's what David says. Trust in the Lord with all what? Your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. Mm-hmm. Watch this. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Mm-hmm. Submit to him. Acknowledge him. Mm-hmm. And he will what? Direct your path. Mm-hmm. He will make your path straight. He'll mm-hmm. make your path straight. So until we totally surrender to him, he's not really the head of our life. Mm-hmm. So, and I hear a lot of people say, God is the head of my life. Really? Mm-hmm. Or it's just word? Because when God becomes the head of my life, I don't do anything mm-hmm. outside of what the head is saying. See, the head is the head of my body. Mm-hmm. My body don't do anything outside of what my head is saying. My hand doesn't dictate to my head. My head tells my hands what to do. Mm-hmm. So get this. So when God is the head of my life, your life, mm-hmm. we don't dictate no more.
Right. It's just like the analogy. If you know, people say, I let Jesus into my heart. Like if you equate it to a house, okay, yeah. I let him go stay in the guest room. There's a difference between having a guest staying in the guest room and then surrendering your whole home to somebody, put it under their headship. So we have to get out of, okay, well, I let Jesus into my heart. I let him into my life, but I keep him over there in the guest room. No, we have to surrender the whole house, surrender our whole self onto him and the way that we function.
Yeah, that he's in charge.
Mm-hmm.
God is in charge of my life. The only time God is in charge of my life, when I take my hands off, when I quit dictating, when I quit telling God what he should do. You know, I like to go tell God, God, you should do this. God, do this for me. God, do this. God, do this. God, do this. God, do this. Other than find the answer that Paul find. But before he find it, he was Saul. Mm-hmm. You know, he always do what he wants to do. Mm-hmm. But at Damascus Road, he surrendered or he said, Lord, what will you have me to do? What you want me to do?
Yeah.
That's when we surrender.
And there's a lot of times he gives us a simple response. God tells you something simply to do, but we still refuse. And then we spend all this time, God, help me, help me. I already told you what to do. It's just like your kids. How many times are you going to tell them the same thing? Eventually, you're just going to be quiet and you're going to wait till they remember, hey, you already told me this. But make your day count on today.
Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Make Your Day Count broadcast with Pastor Errol Beckford, Senior Pastor of Celebration Tabernacle Church in the beautiful city of Cocoa. For more information on this broadcast, please contact us at 321-638-0381. Tune in tomorrow to hear more about how you can make your day count.
Calling Christians to worship and the study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
This is Morning Breath, your drive time devotion sure to jumpstart your day. Hosted by Pastor Matt and Jessica Stahlbaum. Morning Breath starts now.
All right, good morning and welcome to Morning Breath, your drive time devotion sure to jumpstart your day. My name is Matt.
And I'm Jessica.
We are on day two. Pastor Dan is on vacation right now, so we have taken over two in a row.
How fun. Two in a row.
Super fun.
It's Tuesday, January 7th. Wow. Weekend 2020. Here we are. It's amazing, huh? Mm-hmm. Still amazing to me, 2020. I think it'll be amazing till like September. And it'll be like almost 2020 is over. So since it's the new year, our last show yesterday, I asked you what your favorite Christmas present was. Today, I have a new question for you.
Uh-oh.
Do you have any New Year's resolutions?
No.
No. I should have pre-planned this. You know, I usually do. So, for instance, last year, I had a goal, let's call them goals, to read 100 books in the year, and I did. I read 105. And I am having a really hard time committing
to
that.
Now, were these like 1-2 page books or
what? No, like legitimate books, you know, like 200-300 pages.
What was one of your favorite books?
Oh, I did a top 10 on my Instagram, so you can find that.